This week's episode is brought to you by Design by Dunbar. If you need a logo design, flyers, e-commerce, website, or anything at all, go check out Designs by Dunbar at www.facebook.com/designbydunbar.
This is the Suplex Assassin, Alex Kane, and you're listening to the Nerds of Wrestling Podcast.
What is going on, Nerds of Wrestling, and welcome to episode 4 of What's Up Wrestler, a podcast by Nerds of Wrestling. I am your host, Justin Del Rio, and my guest at this very time is the Suplex Assassin, Alex Kane. Alex, what is going on, man? How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I am extremely excited for this.
Hell yeah, I was this close to saying your wrong name. I had to like think for like, shit, what's his name again? But I got it, Alex Kane. Yeah, man, thank you so much for joining today.
Yeah, I think this is like the third or fourth one I've done just this year.
Yeah,
I guess people like to listen to me talk.
Hey, hell yeah, man. You know, you have an interesting story. I heard a lot about you. I'm excited to do this podcast. And this is our first time talking, so it should be a good time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, most definitely. Most definitely.
I feel like this is a question that is asked a lot, not only on my podcast, but on the podcast, not only that you hear, but you watch. How have you been during this crazy time? Like, unfortunately, we're living in this crazy pandemic. What have you been doing to keep positive?
I guess to stay positive, the biggest thing has been wrestling. I know the pandemic shutting everything down kind of like sucks. But for me, it kind of opened a door for me to really like get myself out there. I don't think it would have happened the way that it's happening right now. I probably would have taken a little bit longer, but since the spotlight kind of came onto, I guess some of us that weren't exactly like in the limelight before the pandemic, it gave us a chance to step in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you been keeping up with the product of wrestling, AEW, WWE at all?
I watch the main roster every now and again. But I'm more interested in NXT. I feel like it's closer to the indies than the main product. And then I don't watch a lot of AEW. I'm on Wednesdays, I'm normally at the gym anyway, so I don't really get to catch it. But I don't actively go out and seek it
right
so much.
Speaking of NXT, did you watch the past pay-per-view?
Yes, I did.
Phenomenal. Holy shit. What were your thoughts?
I didn't watch the entire thing. I like to watch it like the day after so I can go through and like find the match that I want to watch or matches that I want to watch. I really enjoyed Pete Dunne and Finn Balor a lot. They really wrestled. And I feel like that's not done a whole lot. And I mean, neither one of them are like amateur wrestlers or anything like that, but they really got on the mat and they really told that story. And I really appreciated that.
You're seeing that so much now from Finn Balor. Like, Finn Balor and Alex Riley, man, they were having bangers on NXT. And, you know, spoiler alert for those of you who did not watch, I hope you know what happened with the Undisputed Era.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Like,
that shit's wild.
I did not see that coming. I saw a picture the next day of which breakup was more heartbreaking. You know, was it the Shield? Was it Evolution? Was it, you know, Undisputed Era? What was going through your mind when you saw Adam Cole kick the shit out of Alex Riley? Man,
I was like, this dude is so much like Shawn Michaels, it's not even funny. That's exactly what my mind went to. Shawn Michaels super kicking super kicking Booker T, and also getting a Triple H. But it's just like, I mean, I guess when I was watching them, like, I think it was Roderick Strong and Adam Cole just sitting back and talking or whatever while what is his name, old buddy was talking to Finn Balor, and he was just like, yo, I respect you, and Adam Cole's back there like, Kyle, You out here sucking up to Finn?
Yeah.
Nah, bro, we can't have this. We can't have this. This man out here false claiming on Undisputed Era. I'm going to have to show him what it is.
I call myself there. I said Alex O'Reilly. I meant Kyle O'Reilly. My bad. I botched your name. But that's all right. You know, people get names wrong all the time. Yeah, but holy shit. I was going nuts when I saw Adam Cole turn on Kyle O'Reilly. I was like, well, that's it. I mean, it had to happen eventually. Do you see them splitting ways? Do you see Adam Cole or any of the Undisputed Era leaving NXT?
I mean, I think at some point, but I don't think any of them need to leave anytime soon.
Right.
I think because like NXT, like I know that they say that, you know, NXT is like developmental, but at this point it's a third brand.
Yes. 100%.
And I enjoy watching NXT more than anything. Partly because one, because it's closer to the indies, and two, because there's people that I know, two people that I know personally that are on there. And I enjoy just going back and like watching them do their thing. So I would rather them stay in NXT for as long as they can until, you know, they're just like, okay, I got to balance. I've done everything here. Let me go make this main roster money.
Right. You know, and as wrestling fans, we want to see what's best for the wrestlers. We want to see what's best for Adam Cole. We want to see what's best for Tommaso Ciampa. We want to see what's best for Johnny Gargano, because the main roster seems to have a curse for most wrestlers.
So I think before I started wrestling, I kind of had the same, like, I guess, thought process on it. But when you really think about it, like, people will always say, like, oh, Vince doesn't know what he's doing, or WWE creators don't know what they're doing. But you have to understand, they know, Vince knows what he's doing. Vince knows more about wrestling than I think anybody on this planet could ever fathom to know. And they're not just making a product for, you know, the wrestling fan that's going to watch every week, or even the casual wrestling fan. They're trying to grab people from other. I guess you would say the demographics, and trying to bring as many people in because they're a global product.
Yeah.
So they can't just be like, okay, well, you know, the people on Twitter are talking about how Cesaro is just so amazing, but is Cesaro being as amazing as he is going to make us all the money that we would need him to make? Because I remember William Regal saying at a seminar that I did that when John Cena had his like 15-year run, that's the most money any of them have ever made at any time in wrestling, because he was a draw. People were either coming to see him get beat up or seeing him to beat somebody else up. So I guess with Roman Reigns right now, because he's white hot right now. Yes. So people are paying to watch him get beat up or to beat somebody up. So like, I don't think that spot is for everybody. In like the competitor sense, you should want to be in that spot, but I don't think that spot is for everybody.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's not for everybody. Us wrestling fans know that. Vince sure as hell knows that not every single person who comes from NXT is going to get that main event spot. Mm-hmm. But like I said, you know, a great take, by the way. But like we said, you know, just us as wrestling fans, we know what we want for these wrestlers, we're not going to get it. It also is like, I'm a big wrestling fan. I've seen a lot of these guys in the independents go to NXT and now do their thing in the main roster. You know, Keith Lee, Dijakovic, Ricochet. It just sucks to know, like, me, like, shit, like, give them a chance. Like, there's so, like, just let them do what they could do, because they could do it. But like, it's WWE, it's not independence. Obviously Vince sees it a different way. You're right, nobody knows wrestling more than Vince, and that's a fact. I mean, we could say we know more than him, but we don't know more than Vince McMahon. We want what we want, but hey, sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't.
I think that they're all going to get their chance in time. Like, I think we tend to forget how long of a time it takes to actually build a person properly. And like, Yeah, I mean, yeah, they could be in NXT for a long time or whatever, but like NXT sometimes feels like it's its own universe in a way. Because people will be in NXT one way, they'll come to the main roster and be completely different, like character, or like, there'll be like different facets of their character that are completely different. So I think the demographic of NXT is different from the demographic of the main roster. And so it takes time for people to, I guess, assimilate to the new person coming in.
Yeah. No, 100%. That's a fact. NXT obviously has been around for, I want to say 7 years, eight years around there. Yeah. You said you're a big NXT fan. I myself am a big NXT fan. I feel like a lot of main wrestling fans are NXT fans just because the product is so fucking good. Were you a fan of Raw or SmackDown before then? I'm assuming you know you were.
I enjoyed SmackDown more. Not so much in like the past couple years, but like more of like Ruthless Aggression era, like late Attitude era. I just enjoyed SmackDown more. I enjoyed like all of like the backstage segments that they would have. I feel like some of those weeks, like I would see like The Rock and Kurt Angle going at it like every week for a championship. I thought them having like those title matches on television with all the drama was really, really cool. And I felt like on SmackDown, like they tied the stories better than they did on Raw. Raw was fun because it did had that like anything could happen feeling to it, but I definitely enjoyed SmackDown more.
SmackDown, I feel SmackDown has kind of like jump ship here and there. Like SmackDown sucked at one time, then SmackDown was really good. SmackDown sucked, then I don't know if you remember where in 2016 when they did the brand split, SmackDown was on fire. Like, holy shit, SmackDown was like knocking Raw out of the park. And then SmackDown kind of died down again, and then Raw kind of like nonchalantly picked up. Now SmackDown's on the rise again. SmackDown's great. Like you said, Roman is doing his thing. Roman's on SmackDown. He's killing it. Sasha Banks is doing her thing. Raw, I don't watch it anymore. I don't find myself sitting down near my watching my TV for 3 hours on Monday night. I just don't. It's too long. It's boring. Yeah, I'm not excited for it. But I will admit, I'll be the first to admit, I feel like everybody who's listening to this podcast, who's ever watching, will admit, when WWE comes to your town or state, you're gonna go. I mean, no matter how much shit people talk about wrestling, no matter how much shit people will, you know, shit on WWE, WWE comes to Connecticut, where I'm from, or Hartford, I'm fucking going. I'm not gonna miss that. I'm gonna go. Because why not? I'm a wrestling fan. I'm gonna go. Yeah, I talk shit about Raw, but that doesn't mean I don't want to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel you.
The Royal Rumble. I'm assuming you watched the Rumble. I know we're kind of late on the Rumble. What were your thoughts on the Royal Rumble?
I enjoyed the Women's Rumble a lot more than the Men's. I feel like the Women's Rumble was just put together far better. Like everybody got a chance. Literally everybody got a chance to shine in some way, shape, or form. And I just really enjoyed that. I feel like the Men's was kind of sloppy. I feel like they weren't out there having as much fun as they could have had.
Right. Hey, that's your opinion, man. I mean, hey, I love the Men's. I love the Women's. So this is the first time in history I predicted the winner and that person won. I try to predict it all the time, but the person I always guess loses. My choice was Bianca Belair since like October, November. I was like, yo, she's winning the Royal Rumble. And God damn it, was I fucking right. I was so happy for her. Please, please, please give us Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair at WrestleMania. Because holy shit, that is a match we all want to see.
Yeah, I definitely want to see that match. But Bianca Belair is who I was pulling for also. I think that match would be fire. I think right now they kind of have them like teaming up or whatever. Like,
yeah, of course.
Kind of forming a little bit of a friendship, which is cool. I think that's just going to, if they do end up going one-on-one, I think that's going to add to the drama.
Yeah.
I was pulling for Big E to win.
Me too, bro.
But I think that put I think that is going to happen later on. I mean, I don't think he needs it right now, because I like what he's doing with the Intercontinental Championship right now. Yeah. He's money on the mic. I feel like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know some of their stuff is like heavily scripted, heavily produced because it's TV. But I feel like with Big E, it's just like natural. I feel like they kind of gave him the reins of his own, because they kind of did that with them in the New Day.
Yep.
Him in the New Day. They kind of let them do their own thing. So I think that's kind of what I think they're still doing the same thing with Big E, and I like it. what he told Apollo, pretty much everybody but you, the security guy. John Kelly, he can have a title shot before you do.
Oh, savage. Savage.
That was crazy.
I was also rooting for Big E. I felt like ever since like he was like doing his thing while still in the New Day, because everybody knew he was gonna get a push one way or the other. And finally, when the draft came, they're like, okay, Big E, you're on SmackDown. Kofi and Xavier, you guys are going to Raw. A lot of people were really hurt, but a lot of people were also like, thank God nobody attacked each other or betrayed each other. Yeah. Thank God New Day is still New Day. But I'm like, okay, that's it. You know, my friend said the same thing. Everyone was like, okay, this is it. Big E's, it's going to happen for Big E. He's going to get a push. He's going to win the Rumble. I feel like you're not the only person who predicted it. I'm not the only person who predicted it. A lot of people predicted mm-hmm. Big E. They won't say it, but a lot of people predicted Big E. No, nobody, I don't think anybody predicted Edge.
I wasn't predicting that. I didn't predict that either. And I see, like, from a fan standpoint, I'm not here for it. But from, like, a business standpoint, I can see what they're doing, because with having Edge in that spot, he can help elevate other guys to that level, the level that they need to, that I don't know, a Big E probably wouldn't be able to do at this moment. So from a wrestling standpoint, I see it. I'm here for it, and I guess from that regard. But as a fan, you know, I want a Big E.
Like you said, he's helping push a lot of new guys, a lot of younger guys. A lot of those guys also don't need it. They don't need it, but a lot of them also do. I don't know about you. I don't know about everyone listening and who's watching. I really want to see Edge versus Finn Balor.
Yeah, the battle of the foggy entrances.
Do it. Why not? I mean, I'm not a fan of Drew McIntyre. I don't like Drew McIntyre. I just can never get on board with his character. I personally do not want to see Edge versus Drew McIntyre, and I don't want to see Edge versus Roman Reigns, because there's no way in hell Roman is dropping the title.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. Give me Finn Balor versus Edge for the NXT title. A lot of people are like, that's stupid. Why would you want that? Why would they do that?
I think Charlotte a lot of people
last year. Yeah, went after Rhea for the title. Why can't Edge do it?
I don't think people understand like how somebody like Edge winning the NXT championship could elevate NXT to that next level, or Finn Balor beating Edge could elevate the NXT championship to that next level. Either outcome is extremely positive for the brand that is NXT. I wouldn't want to see Drew McIntyre versus Edge either. I don't really get Drew McIntyre's character. He's a wonderful looking human being. he looks cool, but I don't get it. And then Roman versus I don't want to see Roman do that either. Yeah, there's no need for that.
there isn't, because like I said, there's Roman is not dropping the title anytime soon. He's red hot. You can't do that to them. I don't know how people feel listening to this. I don't know if everybody watching will go, oh, that's stupid. They don't know what they're talking about. That's my opinion, and that's Alex's opinion. That's the most beautiful thing about wrestling. You don't have to agree on everything. You just have to listen. Yeah. And just give your opinion afterwards. But that's it. That's thank you for your opinion, and that's my opinion. Now let's talk about Alex Kane. Who is Alex Kane. How did the Suplex Assassin become?
How did I become Suplex Assassin? I started training at the WWE for May of 2018 under AR Fox. I think I spent like 5, maybe 6 months training and reffing the shows. We do a Thursday night show every week, and it's still been going on every week, even nice. Into the pandemic, even though they just like live stream. I think at first I was just like the amateur wrestler guy or whatever. I could pretty much out wrestle just about anybody. Fox kind of steered me toward Brock Lesnar. And as I started like watching more and more of his work and realizing how good Brock Lesnar actually is, and a lot of people give him crap, but Brock Lesnar is probably either the best or one of the best. In the business, and I would fight somebody about that. And just like looking at his work, that's kind of how I started like thinking about the whole Suplex Assassin thing. And at first it was just a knockoff Brock gimmick. Because who was going to tell me no? But I guess as time has gone on, I've gotten away from Brock Lesnar so much, because now I get comparisons to Angle, Shelton, and Taz. But I mean, I can see a little bit of myself in all three of those, but I'm still my own character.
Right.
Alex Kane is his own character. So I just try to find ways to stand out from just being the guy that throws suplexes.
That's awesome. I mean, that's really cool. I'm assuming your favorite wrestling move is a suplex.
Yeah, any suplex. My favorite suplex is the X-plex, but yeah, pretty much any suplex.
What was the feeling the first time you actually hit that suplex on someone?
Oh man, it was. Let me think. Who was I wrestling? I think I was wrestling a dude named Fletcher. No, I was wrestling AR Fox actually. Shit. Yeah, the minute I hit it, I was like, yo, this is the coolest thing ever. I wonder how it feels for the other person, because no one's ever given it to me. But I wonder how it feels for the other person, because you're literally like, you're putting them up and then you're throwing their head forward or whatever to make them do a flip. It was pretty dope. Because, I mean, you have to be some kind of strong to have full control of a person's body like that.
Yeah, and it also takes a lot of trust.
Yeah, a lot of trust.
Yeah. You said you trained for 4 to 5 months, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, 4 to 6.
4 to 6. That's a pretty, would you say that's a pretty, you know, standard time? I always hear, you know, 4 to 6, 6 months to a year.
That's what it should be. I might get in trouble for this one, but wrestling isn't as hard as the physical aspect of wrestling is not as hard as people make it out to be. And that may just be for me because I was a former athlete, but it's not as hard as people make it out to be, as long as you like let go of the fears, because wrestling is not natural. There's nothing natural about falling either way. And there's nothing natural about what we're doing. As far as some of the movements go, some of the fighting is natural. But I feel like it should be about 6 months to a year. I mean, if it takes you longer, it takes you longer.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't knock you on that.
Yeah, I mean, there's people who pick it up like a sponge, and there's people who just are naturally gifted at it. 4 to 6 months, you said you trained after your initial training was done, after your trainer, AR Fox, said, okay, kid, you're ready. What was your mindset going into your very, very first match ever?
I was a nervous wreck. because my first match was against Fox.
No shit. See, I feel like it was a good match though. Your first match, I feel, should always be against your trainer. Do you feel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what made it worse was Fox was there. Fox was my opponent. Theory was in the crowd with Fry Daddy or whatever. So there was just that extra pressure of having a guy like Austin Theory watching my first match, and I'm over here like, I hope this goes well. But Fox and the referee was another student. They kind of screwed me on the finish. They didn't tell me about the finish, but I hit Fox with a move. It was 1, 2, and got kicked inside of the head.
Oh, You didn't know about it?
No, I had no idea. No clue.
After that happened, you're probably like, yo, what the hell? Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just went with it as a part of the show. But Fox, I think he told me when we got back, he was like, we got off track somewhere and I was trying to put it back on track. I'm like, dude, the match was already over. What are you talking about? What do you mean get back on track? The match was over. All we had to do was 1, 2, 3, go home.
That's it. After that first match, what, like, were you like, okay, I'm ready for another match? Or were you like, I need a little more work?
No. So the beauty of having the Thursday shows like every week is like you train the week and then you wrestle somebody. So I feel like that, because I know a lot of guys don't have that. They have to like get out here and immediately get on the road in order to wrestle. So I think having those Thursday shows really helped me and really helped me put really, I think it really helps A4 students get ahead of the curve because you get all of the, like the awkwardness. You get some of the first few match jitters out of the way. So I probably had maybe 100 matches, maybe more in that building.
Jesus.
So to have that many matches in wrestling almost every single week. And then now that I'm out on the indies, like it's not like, and now I know how to work a crowd. Right. I know how to present myself. And those are all things that I've learned being at school for as long as I was.
Yeah, that's awesome. You said WWA. Is that located in? I hope I don't get it wrong. Kentucky?
No. That's in Atlanta, Georgia.
Jesus Christ. Yes. My bad. Holy shit. Wow. All right, Atlanta, Georgia. How did you hear about WWA? Fucking Christ. Everyone's going to be like, what the hell is wrong with you, Justin? Come on. Research.
I think after I graduated high school, I was just looking for wrestling schools around me. And I found the WWA 4. And I would like send like application stuff, but I didn't have at the time I didn't have the money to pursue it.
Right.
So I just went off and went to college and stuff and, you know, wrestled in college, played rugby in college. And then I dropped out of college and then I went back. And the last time I went back, I was scrolling. I was looking at the A4 website and like looking at the roster and like looking up the guys' names. And Austin Theory was on there, and he was the one guy that stuck out to me because he looked like he was already ready, like right. to be on TV. So I just went through his Instagram and I was watching videos and watching clips, going through YouTube, watching videos, watching clips. And I was like, well, you know, if this guy can do it, then I can do it. Which when I say it now, it kind of seems like a weird person to say, well, if this guy can do it, I can do it. But just looking at some of his, like, he's really keen on wanting to motivate people to follow their dreams. And so I was just like, you know what? I'm tired of this college stuff. I can always come back if I want to. Let me just go and check this place out. And I went, I signed up, and I think I paid the first day. I paid the first day and Fox already had me in the ring just doing rolls and drop downs and stuff like that.
That's awesome. Like to step into the ring for the first time, you know, mm-hmm. obviously growing up a wrestling fan, you're seeing your favorite wrestlers, Kurt Angle, John Cena, Eddie Guerrero, you know, Brock Lesnar, Rey Mysterio do what they do in a ring. And you're like, I want to do that. And you're in the ring and you're doing it for the first time. You must have felt like a kid in a candy store.
Oh yeah. I was like, yeah, this is where I need to be. This is where I was meant to be.
That's incredible. I love that. That's awesome. And like you said about college isn't going anywhere, bro. I don't know how old you are. I'm 26 and I'm finally going. Okay, so see here, you same age as me. I'm going back to school to get my associate's degree. I should be getting it next year. Mm-hmm. College is not going anywhere. It's always gonna be there for those of you who are listening. If you're young and you're in school and you think, I got to get done. Sure. If you want to burn yourself out by the time you're 21, fine. Relax. Take your time. Chill. Enjoy. College is not going anywhere. You got plenty of time.
But somebody would have told me that when I was 21.
What was your major?
It was exercise science when I first got in there. I didn't really want to be in college. Like, my parents kind of like pushed that on me. The reason why I went to the college that I went to, Life University in Marietta, Georgia, was to see if I could walk onto a collegiate wrestling team, which I did. That was the whole reason I was there. After I got burned out on wrestling, I was just like, well, what else are we gonna do? And that's how I got into rugby. And I played rugby for a year, and then I was like, you know, I forget this, I'm leaving.
Shit, you're like a physical motherfucker over there, man. Yeah. Playing wrestling, doing rugby. Fuck that, man. How was rugby?
Rugby is a lot of fun. It's a lot of people think it's like football, and like, I guess in the sense of like carrying a ball, it kind of is, but it's more like soccer and basketball because like it's far more technical than it looks. And there's just so much chatter going on. Like, you have to be vocal the entire time.
Well, shit. I didn't know. It's also like very physical though, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You like knock on your ass.
It's physical, like it's very physical, yes, but it's not like football in the sense of like you're trying to like kill the guy or whatever, get the ball necessarily. You're really trying to get them to the ground so you can get the ball and so you can score. Football, you're using your body as a weapon. Rugby, you're just trying to get the guy to the ground.
Well, look at that. There you go, nerds. If you want to learn about rugby, Alex Kane just explained everything. You said you were studying science when you went to college.
Exercise science.
Oh, well, what made you want to study that?
When I was in high school, I kind of wanted to be a personal trainer. And like again, my parents, they were like, "Well, you know, you can't get a certification because you know, those aren't worth anything. You got to get a degree." So I was like, "Okay, well, I got to get a degree. I guess exercise science is the degree I need to get." I have friends that graduated with that degree. I mean, they're just personal trainers, and a lot of them say that their degree really didn't like elevate their status. Yeah, it didn't really it just paid money for a degree.
Shit. Well, fuck. I'm studying early childhood education. I got my certificate 2 years ago almost, and I'm working full time now as a full-time preschool teacher. That's nice. Like another thing I always say to the wrestlers, oh yeah, I'm a preschool teacher. They go, huh, fun. No. No, it's all right. It's all right. I've been doing it for years, but I don't know what else to do. I honestly don't know what else to do with like anything. I've been working with kids forever. I started working with kids. I was like 14, 15, and I'm still doing it now. But yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy, man.
As long as you enjoy it, that's all that really matters. And if it allows you to do your podcast and stuff, that's all that really matters. As long as you're able to have that time to yourself to follow your own dreams, it really don't matter what you do.
Yeah, no, like you're 100% right. The podcast thing is something I've been doing for over a year now. And like I said, working with kids is a long time. I do have enough time to come home and do the podcast. Am I worn out after 8 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Of course I am. But that's every job. No job is easy. If you want to make the dough, you got to put in the work.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do. What do you do for work?
Right now I'm unemployed, actually.
Oh, shit. That's all right, man.
Yeah, I mean, these unemployment checks are nice right now. And it's, I've applied for jobs, but it's like, yes, I could stop collecting unemployment and get a job. And some people may frown upon that, but not having a job has freed me up to wrestle more. And if I get a job, that job is not going to care that I'm a professional wrestler. It's not going to care that I'm following my dreams. They're not going to care. They were like, "What? We need you here at this time for this long and forget the rest."
Yeah, you got to show that. Show that day? Not anymore.
Nope. You can't work weekends? No, we can't hire you.
That's how jobs are though. Like you said, they don't care. Like, not, oh, you're a wrestler? Cool. Now you're a cashier at Walmart.
No. When I worked at Home Depot, when I first started training, they're like, "Oh man, you're a pro wrestler. That's so cool. That's so awesome." And I always said, "See, your job likes that you're a professional wrestler because they think it's cool. But when it's time to be the professional wrestler, they're like, nah, we don't want this."
That is 100% facts. I'm sorry to hear that, bro. Like,
yeah.
After your training, after you got done with everything, your first show, when did you really start, you know, on traveling to more of the shows?
I did a little bit in like 2019. I think toward the end of 2019, the end of 2019 is when I really started like getting out there. I started cutting my teeth at Pro South, in Piedmont, Alabama. And that's where I spent most of my time. And that was a place where, this guy named Scott Hensley got his eyes on me. And from him seeing me wrestle at Pro South is really where my career started to take off on the trajectory that it's on now. He runs the SCI, which is the Scenic City Invitational. They hold like a tournament every year, I believe. And 2020 was the Future Showcase, which they do that every year along with like a tournament. But this year they didn't do the tournament because of COVID. But the Future Showcase, being on IWTV, and so many people watch IWTV, it's insane. That's really what got like my name in a lot of people's mouths. And then I also met one of the commentators for IWTV, Dylan Hales, and he was like, "Dude, you have to travel. Like, you got everything you need. You just need to travel." So after he told me that, I was just like, "Okay, let me start hitting up promotions and stuff." And start trying to travel more. And then from there, I went to Paradigm Pro. And I did a seminar there with Dan Severn, which was awesome. He's a really cool guy. And I did that seminar. I was a standout in that seminar. And then the following day, I did the UWFI Grand Prix that Paradigm Pro was doing. And I actually got a match. And I showed out in that match also. And then from there, it's just been trying to get to the moon, dog.
That's awesome, bro. That is what the fuck I'm talking about. For wrestlers such as yourself and all these, you know, independent wrestlers, to be on IWTV must feel like, to you, hey, it feels like I'm on the WWE network. Because I don't know if anybody knows about IWTV, for everybody listening, IWTV is amazing. If you're a big independent wrestling fan, go check out IWTV. Like, I think it's cool that, you know, like these people, my friends, like, hey, that must be pretty cool for them to be on IWTV. And I'm sure it's the same with you.
Oh, most definitely. I feel there's just hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of wrestling content. I feel like there's something on IWTV for everybody. Like, if you can't find what you need on IWTV, then you might well just want to stop watching wrestling.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's so many, like, I've been on shows that have been on Fight TV. I've been on shows that are just on YouTube. And like, yeah, people may go and watch it, but like, there's no like engagement. And with IWTV, you have people watching the show, and they're on Twitter. And Twitter is huge.
Twitter is taking over the world.
It really is. And Twitter can make you or break you. So if you don't have a presence on Twitter, I don't see you getting too far. Honestly, I really don't, because I mean, nobody's gonna go look for you on Facebook, and nobody really cares about Instagram either. So I always tell everybody, like work on your Twitter presence, work on that. That is going to get you out here.
Exactly.
And it's always nice people tweeting about you and your mentions out here going crazy. Like, that's always a good thing.
That's how I find a lot of the wrestlers, though. I found you on Facebook, but I also I think we follow each other on Twitter. But that's how I find most of the wrestlers on, you know, who I'm trying to get my podcast, who I'm like, hey, this person is amazing. Do they have Twitter? Twitter is always the first thing that pops up to my mind because Twitter is so mainstream nowadays. You, like you said, you need Twitter. You need to be active on Twitter if you want to, you know, branch out.
Yeah, if you want your career to blossom, that's where you need to be. You can work thousands and thousands and thousands of shows, but if nobody sees it, you just took all these bumps on your bump card for no reason. I mean, yeah, you made some money.
Right.
You made some money, it's cool. Make your money. But don't think that you working this show in the backwoods of Alabama is going to get you seen by somebody that can help get you to that next level.
Yeah. Social media is a very, very powerful thing nowadays. And it's kind of sad to say, but it's true. Like, you can't get anywhere without social media. Like, nobody knows who you are without social media,
which is true.
It seems like you've met a lot of amazing people in your career of wrestling. Who, throw some names out there. Who are some amazing names, amazing people you got to work with, matches, promos, have at it?
Damian Tangra, Logan Creed is a lot of fun. I wrestled him a month ago. O'Shea Edwards. Cool thing with O'Shea is I'm actually wrestling him next month, but at Action Wrestling. But the gear that I wear now is kind of thanks to him in a way, because I met him at the Future Showcase because he was doing the TWE show. And I think he also did the Futures. He had a match on the same card, but he was just like telling, like I was asking like how can I like stand out more, and he told me that like the shooter singles that I used to wear, I still wear them every now and again. But they kind of like constrict everything. So I'm big, but it doesn't make me look as big as I could be. So he was like, get the Kurt Angle cut Olympic style singlet or whatever to really bring everything out and get boots and stuff. So I owe the look to him kind of. Who else? Hoodfoot. He's like a Paradigm Pro mainstay. He's really dope. Chase Holiday, I think I already said him, but he's fire. I just wrestled him at Action. AC Mack is Black Excellence, and I tell him this every time I see him that he is Black Excellence personified. There's a lot. I get my mentor or one of my mentors, Wicked Nemesis, Enoch Terrison, I think his name is. And I never call him Enoch. I just call him Wicked. But he really, when I was at Pro South, he really instilled like the confidence that I needed to become who I am right now in me. You know, just always believe in the character. Always believe in myself. So I definitely have to thank him for that. Or if I didn't, he'd kill me.
That a lot of people to thank. A lot of people. You know, you shouted out there. Really quick, we all know wrestling is so mainstream nowadays. It's something that really, the independents kind of, in my opinion at least, correct me if I'm wrong, really kind of took off, I want to say, in like 2015, 2016. That's when the independents, in my opinion, were like, okay, let's look at the independent scene. Let's not only worry about WWE. Let's not only worry about ROH or Impact. Let's look at the independence. There are so many independence wrestling promotions out there, and it's a bit overwhelming because you have all these shows, you have all these names, you have everything like back and forth. Not only as a wrestler is it overwhelming for you, but for me as a fan, it is so extremely overwhelming because I want to discover all these wrestlers, I want to discover all these promotions. Every single day I'm learning someone new, every single day I'm learning a new promotion. So I want to ask is, what are some promotions or people who you have not been able to work with or promotions that you weren't able to work at that you want to work with or work at?
Top of that list is GCW. GCW is just making it there to like show my face and help out and stuff, and to earn that spot. But for me, pretty much every show that was at the Collective is the show that I want to be on.
That's insane, man.
So yeah, I mean, just to bunch them all together, like that group of shows is where I want to be. I already checked one off the list, which is Paradigm.
Yeah, you have GCW. You have, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you had Beyond in that list. You had, I don't want to botch any names. I don't want to get any wrong. I remember the names. I just don't have the list in front of me right now. But you have so many fantastic names.
Mm-hmm.
GCW, holy fucking shit, they are on fire. Jesus Christ, like. Who are some wrestlers? I know it's an independent promotion. A lot of people work for GCW, but who would you really want to work with at GCW?
There's too many. I know this year I want to wrestle Lee Moriarty. That's a match that I think people would enjoy. I think that
I would enjoy.
I still have yet. I mean, I was, my future showcase match involved Nolan Edwards, but I would like to wrestle him one on one. That would be fun. He's white. He's white hot right now. He's everywhere. Who else? I can always think of these things when no one asks me.
Right.
When someone asks me, it's like, ooh. Oh, Calvin Tankman would be fun too.
Yeah.
Calvin Tankman would be fun. Who else? Cole Radrick. Definitely Cole. That would be a very interesting match. Jordan Oliver would be fun too.
He's killing it, bro. I knew Jordan for a long time, man.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking hell, man. That kid, I'm so proud of that kid. He is absolutely on fucking fire. So shout out to Jordan Oliver.
Yeah, he said he was a fan of mine.
Hey, I think look at that.
He posted something on Twitter about the new age suplex machine or something like that. And I kind of took offense to it just a little bit. I quote tweeted him or whatever, and we just talked a little bit. But I definitely want that match. I guess that's my list for being on the spot.
There you go. I mean, hey, it happens, man. I ask these wrestlers questions and they go, "Ooh, wait, hold on, let me think. I know what I want, but I don't know because they don't have the list in front of me."
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I said, there's a lot of wrestlers. When this podcast ends, you'll probably be like, oh, damn, I should have named him. Oh, fuck, I should have named that show. Damn. GC, like I said, GCW, holy shit. I really want to go to a GCW show. I hope to see you at a GCW show soon. I'm sure I will. I'm sure GCW will book you. You got to come to Connecticut, though. Connecticut, though, is low-key. We got some good shows up here. So
that's where Fox is from.
Look at that, see? And I met Fox a couple of times. I seen him wrestle Austin Theory at Northeast Wrestling, I want to say 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I think. Yeah, so that was a fucking fiery match. Like, I was like, yo, this show, this it'd be the best match of the entire night and everything. So it was awesome. Definitely check out some shows in Connecticut, though, if you haven't heard of any. Because Northeast Wrestling, fire. Fire. Yeah, anyway, Alex, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show today, man. This was a lot of fun. This has been quite the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has. Yes, it has. Yeah, definitely. If you ever want to bring me back, definitely, I'm definitely down for it.
Got you. Absolutely, 100%. Drop those plugs. Where can the Nerds of Wrestling find Alex Kane?
You can find me on Twitter at Alex_Kane11. And no... Nobody uses Instagram, but you know, if you want to follow me on Instagram, it'd be nice. At the Suplex Assassin. Don't find me on Facebook, please. I have like 134, probably in counting, friend requests of people who don't interact with my posts. They've never come to see me wrestle. They just want to be my friend, and I don't know why.
Oh, come on, we all gotta be friends, man. They just want to be your friend. There's nothing wrong with that. Nah, he's like, nah. So do not add him on Facebook. Twitter's where you can find it if you really want to interact with him more. Instagram. Hey, I still use Instagram. Nothing wrong with Instagram.
Instagram is dying slowly.
It is, but I still use Instagram because mm-hmm. Instagram is still low-key fire.
Yeah, I get you that. I get you that.
Anyway, Alex, thank you so much again. Nerds, everybody who has been listening, who will be listening, and who watched this this What's Up Wrestler, thank you so much. Stay tuned for the next What's Up Wrestler on the Nerds of Wrestling podcast. I'm your host, Justin Del Rio. Peace out, nerds.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. You ever been to camp? Look at you. Of course you haven't. You're a wrestling fan. But Killian McMurphy and Big Dust are here to let you in on a little secret.
You can go to Camp Leapfrog on IWTV.
You looking for wrestling that's fun?
Wrestling that's different?
Wrestling that everyone's gonna love?
Or are you just looking for Killian McMurphy to beat the snot out of some geek?
That's Camp Leapfrog on IWTV. Tune in now, nerds.
And that concludes this episode on the Nerds of Wrestling podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe for more future episodes. I'm your host, Justin Del Rio. Peace out, nerds.